yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is Wes Reimnitz on this March the 16th in the year of our Lord 2017. How are you doing, Wes?
I'm awake.
You're awake. Well, that's good. Yes. We need to have people awake when we talk about certain things. And I understand that when we talked earlier, we had both received a note from President Harrison, Matthew Harrison, who is the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about an important event that has taken place. Would you be so kind as to kind of summarize that, and then we can talk about it?
Right. I thought it was good that we take a look at the memo that President Harrison had sent out. It's about a Wyoming judge, Judge Ruth Neely, and she is a lay person who's a member of one of our churches up in Wyoming.
Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Missouri Synod, yes. And evidently, somehow along the way, she had said something along the line that she would perform same-sex marriages.
She would not. Yeah, okay.
And then what had happened is the Wyoming Supreme Court censured her as municipal. She was a municipal court judge. And they had censored her for having taken that stance, and he was bringing attention to the fact that the minority part of the Supreme Court was pointing out some problems that that the majority had not looked at. For instance, that she was never asked to perform a same-sex marriage, and you know.
She was never asked, and yet they still censured her?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. We're at a point in some of our legal system, all you have to do is say something, and your First Amendment rights go right out the window.
Was she removed from the bench?
No, just censored. They told her that she's not to perform any marriages unless she's willing to perform same-sex marriages.
Well, that's all right. I mean, she wouldn't have to perform any then. You know, some of our churches are starting to think this way, that they do not want to perform marriages in the church. They're telling their people, get married by a justice of the peace, and then come over to the church for a big worship service and a reception afterwards. And so, and that way it takes off of the front burner their refusal to marry people who are following an abomination from God's point of view.
That's almost what we would say, very Martin Luther of you.
Very Martin Luther, yes.
Yeah. Well, Martin Luther had said, you know, go get married by the state and then come to the church door and we'll take you in and bless the marriage.
Yes. In fact, I heard somebody else say that there are some states who are trying to get out of marriage. But that doesn't make any sense at all, because then who is going to control the laws about marriage? Like, somebody dies, who gets the will and last testament? And there's a lot of things. Plus, states have rules who can get married. For example, I don't know any state that allows a father to marry his daughter.
Daughter, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. There's a variety of contexts that you have to follow in terms of marriage itself.
But that's only the law now. Within 10 years, they'll probably be able to do that.
It is a mess, you know. And I think that's why we wanted to raise concern about this memo. I thought it was very well written. You know, these are things that our lay people are going through. And, of course, they're in need of our support and our prayers.
As well as instruction.
Yes.
You know... Yes. we don't want to give the impression that a homosexual is an individual that we ought to look down on, because if you look down on a homosexual, you're going to have to look down on yourself, because we're as big a sinner as they are. The big difference is whether one repents of what he is doing.
Right. And what do you call sin? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. On a Sunday morning, that's precisely what we do at the beginning of the service. I, a poor, miserable sinner, am in need of the mercy of God's grace.
Last night at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, I did the Lenten service. You know, we're going through the words of Jesus. And the word for last night was, John, here's your mother. Mary, here's your son. Mm-hmm. And that had, at first, not much theology to it, I thought, until I started getting into it. Well, what Jesus is doing, can you imagine? He's got a splitting headache while he's hanging on the cross because of the thorns and the whippings, and yet he still takes time to take care of the fourth commandment.
Yeah, I did a TV.
You what?
I did a TV last night.
Oh, you were on television? Where?
No, TV.
Oh, TB.
Yeah, a Tom Baker.
Oh, I thought tuberculosis. You?
No, a Tom Baker.
What'd you do?
I was a super pleasurist. You know, you like to talk about doctors and going in and getting healing. I did the healing medicine.
Yes.
You know, which really essentially came down to the three tools that the Lord gives to the church.
And what are they?
It's the means of grace, word, baptism, and Lord's Supper.
Exactly.
You know, and there we receive that healing forgiveness, and when we put together those tools.
Well, I spoke a little bit. You know, sometimes we do bring in sanctification in the sermon, where children are also to take care of their parents. In fact, one of the things I've been surprised at is I rarely go to see a shut-in where somebody isn't already in the room. Normally, maybe a parent or a spouse or a child, and they really do take care of those folks quite a bit. Now, I know there are some who don't want to go to a nursing home, and I didn't want to give that impression in the sermon that you have to keep your parents at home. Sometimes a nursing home is better, particularly if you're not around all the time and they need medicine and this sort of thing. But it doesn't mean you stop visiting them.
Right. Oh, no, it's very special that they take time to be with family. And also, while you're making those visits, is to point out to them that even though the body's falling apart, we have that healing medicine of the forgiveness of sins in Christ our Lord.
Yes, I said that at the end of the sermon, you know, as we grow old and we get to be living by ourselves sometimes because everyone else has died around us, it doesn't mean that we're going to have an apostle taking care of us. But God has sent another comforter to us, who is the
Holy Spirit.
Excellent. And that's where we get our comfort.
But, you know, in John 14, we often quote those early verses, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But if you read later in there, he says, if anyone loves me, the Father and I will come and make our home inside of you. That Jesus is also there.
That's correct. And that's definitely a promise in baptism. Remember, Peter says you'll receive two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the
Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is, of course, the Father, there is the Son. We don't believe in modalism. Do you remember what that means? That there's only one God, and he just appears in different modals or forms.
Oh, yeah, that was a kind of a strange one.
Yes, we believe instead in three distinct persons, although they do appear in different forms. For example, Jesus appears on Mount Sinai in a burning bush.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit appears at baptism as a
dove.
Yes. And so We need to be careful. God the Father, or it could be God the Son, I can't recall, when they go through the wilderness, they're led by a pillar of
fire.
Yes, so he comes in different forms, but there are still three distinct persons.
Persons, yeah. Well, you know, last night, you know, we read through the Passion reading in the Gethsemane, where the soldiers come and, who are you looking for, Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, he says, I am he.
You know, right.
John makes in the Gospel of John, that's talked about quite a bit, I am, and that refers also back to that burning bush.
Yes, it's in the Greek, the word for I am is just Amy, E-I-M-I, and it has the pronoun with it. But Jesus doesn't say just Amy. He puts an ego in front of it, E-G-O, which is the pronoun for I.
I am.
So he's really saying, I, who I am. And that's why the soldiers fall down, because he's using the name of God, and they think he's committing blasphemy.
Well, I often took it as Philippians, that, you know, in Philippians it says every knee shall bow.
Yes.
So I look at it as they hear it and just they are in the sight of God at that point.
Yeah, last night we had visitors at our Lenten service, and so afterwards I met with one of them, and I was showing them some of the videos I show the students, and that one I really like is where a policeman pulls a guy over in a car, and his girlfriend and him step outside the car, and it appears that the policeman is handcuffing him and he's kneeling down, and then the policeman goes to his car, gets a camera, comes back, and the girl is standing in front of her boyfriend, and he's really not cuffed, and he brings his hands forward and gives her a ring. And it was all set up by that policeman, and he had worked with him, and he thanked him after. And here's how I made a spiritual thing, is that a lot of people are afraid of Judgment Day. But what they're going to find is when they see Jesus, those who are believers, he's going to give them a ring.
Ring.
Because he's the groom.
And the church is the bride.
Excellent. So I thought that was a really good YouTube. I mean, there was no spirituality in it. It was just a good way. You know, some guys just feel they got to do something special when they first ask Louise, that was my wife, yes, to marry me. And I didn't have to do that because she begged me to marry her. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's how it is. Yeah.
I'm sure. That was your wife, too, hey?
Yeah. She ran after me until I caught her.
Okay, let's get back to realism. What else about this judge?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that she's not supposed to do those marriages, which we talked about, unless she does them both, but I think she's still going to go ahead and live out her life. I think one of the minority decisions was that we live in a pluralistic society, and the law should not be to coerce anybody to change their ideology. So the minority part of the judges were saying, we're using the law to force people to believe.
Right. And I think they should do with gay marriage the same thing they've done with abortion. For example, my wife was a registered nurse. I had a fine member of the congregation that was the head of the emergency room at Barnes Hospital. He's in Oklahoma right now. But be that as it may, he always refused, and she, of course, to participate in abortions. And nothing could happen to them. There is a law that doesn't that says very clearly that people can refuse to do that because of their religious principles. And therefore, I don't have any problem with the same with gay marriage.
I think that's an excellent point, you know, give people the options. And that was something that the ruling pointed out that in Wyoming, they still could go and do same-sex marriages. It just wasn't with that judge.
Well, I haven't heard, but they folks, see, Christians are being persecuted all over the place. Remember those, the bakers who refused to bake a cake for a gay marriage because they had to participate in the ceremony also, or the reception, and they wouldn't do that, and they got fined over $100,000. That's going to court, and I haven't heard anything, have you, as to how that ended up?
No, I hadn't. But, you know, on one of the other KFUO programs the other day, I was listening, and they were bringing out the about the persecution of
yes.
Christians, not just only in that, but across the world itself. That, I mean, it's really, we're almost back to a first century persecution going on.
Well, more Christians are dying today than they did in the first centuries of the early church. Partly because there's more people in the world and many, 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 many more Christians. But that's something that we need to, you know, be alerting our people to. But this understanding, a sermon ought to really hit sin pretty hard. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how many people tend to live together once they decide they're going to be married in the future. Or, you know, older people are now living together without marriage in order not to lose their Social Security benefits.
Right. Well, the passage I used last night was from Ephesians 2. You know, we were dead in our trespasses. We're just dead from the neck up. We're dead from the neck down when we make these decisions.
Yes, and I just feel bad that the law, you know, is written in such a way. Why should somebody lose their Social Security just because they get married again? Doesn't make any sense.
Yes, no, it doesn't. But, you know, personally, that happened in our family. My mother had passed away, and about 4 or 5 years later, my dad decided to remarry.
Uh-huh.
And they had to make that decision.
Wow.
You know, that they were going to lose half of their Social Security. And I can still remember my father saying, he said, the right thing to do is for us to get married, and we'll have to live on half as much.
Yes. Yeah, God does send the Holy Spirit and provides us with promises to take care of us and such. And what's difficult is when you've been living a lifestyle where you have your own house, your own car, you suddenly lose your job, your house goes into foreclosure, and it's really difficult for a lot of people to get through that. And that's where the church really needs to come about and help them out.
Sure. And you know, just give and reach out to those that we see hurting within our churches and our congregations, spending the time to be with them. You know, these and what I bring up in the instance, like last night, I was at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln. We're doing a round robin, exchanging pulpits, and I was in Lincoln. And they have a Lent meal, and one thing I noticed at their Lent meal prior to church is it was probably about 80% older adults. But it was a kind of a time for them to get together, talk, spend some time visiting with one another. And I think Lent meals really serve that purpose.
Yes, we took a poll at Trinity Orchard Farm, and they did vote to have the Lenten meals. And part of the problem with the Lenten meals is some people are members of three or four groups, like the choir, the PTL, the ushers, sure, etc. So they end up having to serve three, four times. So we started a new thing where at least one of the Wednesdays this year, we wanted somebody who's just families coming together. And the homeschoolers decided to put together a meal, and they're going to be doing that next Wednesday. So that's really good. And yeah, maybe the next time we'll try and find two different sets of families so that the groups where similar people belong to different ones don't have to come so often.
Yeah, well, talking about family time, you know, the first Sunday in April up at Trinity Manitou, they're going to have a family time where the various ages get together and just spend some time. And get this, you know what their devotion's going to be?
Probably something you've written.
I wish. Well, I'm going to help them with it.
Yes.
They're actually going to take last week's broadcast that we did on Thursday.
Oh.
Some of them listened to it and they said, oh, we're going to use that as a Bible study.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, because we can use the $50. Yeah, you tell them there's a... by the way, speaking of funding, we do owe about $1,500 to KFUO to finish our third year here. And if you want to write a check and have it income tax deductible, make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And then listen carefully to the end of the broadcast where it tells you where to mail it. It still says Law and Gospel, but don't make it out the Law and Gospel because that's not income tax deductible. But through Concordia Mission Society, it is, and then mailed to the same address. Yeah, we had Sloppy Joe's for the dinner last night, and they had to put out another table.
Mm.
Yeah, they were very, very good, and I believe it was the PTL, Parent Teachers League, had put it together. And then, like I say, next week is the homeschoolers. And we had really good attendance at the Lenten service, partly because, you know, we had the children singing.
Well, we had good Lenten attendance where we were at, too. And it was interesting. We had the youth league with their parents served last night, lasagna.
Oh, lasagna.
Yeah, it was good.
Boy, I bet. Yeah, I got there early. Because I ended up with two helpings. But, yeah, it's an opportunity, and you had people sitting at all the tables. They were talking together, and the kids often would sit by themselves and be talking, so it was kind of good to do that. But you're not confirming any youth in any of the churches coming up, are you?
Glad you should mention that. We're having an adult confirmation this coming Sunday.
Oh, where are you preaching?
Trinity, Manitoba, where we're serving the vacancy.
Yes, excellent.
We're having the installation of the new pastor on May 21st, so he's coming here shortly.
Oh, wow. So they called the pastor, he's coming, and yep. Then you'll probably just put yourself forward for preaching at various stations that need yep. preachers?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of vacancies across the Senate itself. Although the church is never, as you pointed out before, church is never really vacant. Christ is the head of the church.
Yes. You've mentioned that often means the under-shepherd isn't there, but the shepherd still is.
Right, right.
Yeah, a pastor at Trinity once forgot to set his clocks ahead with the time change. And his wife runs in while he's taking a shower and said, the worship service started 10 minutes ago.
Oh, my.
And they had seminarians that would, kind of go through the liturgy and read the readings. And he was able to get there in time for the sermon.
Yeah. Well, I have one for that, too. Pastor got lost and going from one church to the other because it was a dual parish.
Oh, I know.
And he got lost out in the country, and they had to go through the hymn a couple times before he got there.
I use a thing in the car that tells you to make a right turn, then a left turn. And when it was done, I was kind of in the middle of a farm field.
Well, you know what I did when it came my turn to go between them? I got the organist who was playing between the parishes and let him show me the way.
Yes, that's smart. Well, hopefully next Thursday we'll have another topic, but we're going to have to stay on top of this as Christians are being persecuted more and more for our biblical beliefs according to the Word of God. It's something that we are expecting, and Jesus even said, blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Yep, pray for them, support them. And contact our lawmakers about what's going on.
Well, we can just be thankful for the kind of president that we have.
Absolutely.
In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. who sends this out to pastors. I made copies for everybody in the Sunday morning Bible study. Mm-hmm. So good thing to do. Well, thank you very much, Pastor Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, and you can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com if you have a question. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.